In the first half of 2019, the Wisconsin legislature's focus was building a two-year budget plan. This fall, with the budget in place, the focus of the legislature has been on a number of social, environmental, educational, and health issues, ranging from managing chronic wasting disease in the deer population to managing the shortage of mental health providers. We welcome two Western Wisconsin legislators today to talk about a broad range of issues and how they affect us here in this part of the state. It's our legislative update today on the West Side. And a good rainy Monday morning to you. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Joining us today are State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire. Senator Smith represents the 31st Senate District, which includes all of Pepin and Buffalo counties, most of Pierce, Trempealeau, and Jackson counties, as well as western Eau Claire County, southern Dunn County, and a small part of St. Croix and Chippewa counties. Senator Smith, good to have you along.
Thanks. I appreciate being here.
And also with us today, State Representative Jesse James of Altoona. He represents the 68th Assembly District, which includes eastern Eau Claire County, western Clark County, southern Chippewa County, and portions of Trempealeau and Jackson County. Representative James, good to have you along.
Thank you for having me.
So this is your chance to hear from these legislators about the issues that matter to you, and also your chance to comment, question, or share your story with them. Call us at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. So before we dive into the issues, I'd like to check in with both of you on your new experiences in the legislature. And Representative James, you're 10 months into your first term as a legislator. What have you found being the most surprising part of being a member of the Assembly?
Well, first and foremost, not being a politician ever, except in the role of chief of police previously, the biggest thing that I've realized is how legislators are always late to the meeting. that is something that I find somewhat frustrating.
Yeah.
But I guess that's part of the politics. I always try to be early, and if I have an appointment, I'm going to be there on time, if not early. And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations that I've come across thus far. And then just the constant learning. By the end of the day, when I'm in Madison in the Capitol, it's continuous, constant learning, and there's always a lot of questions, and sometimes I always don't get those questions answered, and that can lead to some frustration as well.
And I assume that learning has to do with legislation that's out there that you're being asked to act on, that you need to bone up on what the topic is, what the issue is.
Yes, you are correct. Yeah. And with the legislation, you always want to dot your I's and cross your T's and make sure it's in the best interest of the 68th Assembly, which you represent, as well as the state of Wisconsin. So it's a huge learning curve, and you really want to do your research and be diligent in doing so.
Senator Smith, you served in the Assembly for two terms, but more than 10 years ago, and this is your first year as a senator. What's the difference in your experience this time around compared to your time in the Assembly?
Well, first of all, I'd like to – the learning never ends, and I think that's a really good thing. I actually consider my office to be my classroom, where people come in and teach me every time I'm there. And what is the great thing about being a whether it's in the Assembly or in the Senate is the fact that people are so willing to open up and tell you all about their life, their experiences, because they know that if citizen lobbying is really the most effective way to reach us. The difference between the Senate and the Assembly, I of course, there's fewer members, and that does make a big difference. When it's a large body like 99 state assembly, and even in your caucus, it's a larger number. You can find more coalitions built within that. But when you only have 14 members in our caucus and 33 altogether in the state senate, it's a little harder to build coalitions unless it's inclusive of everybody. And I find that to be somewhat more difficult. Otherwise, having a four-year term is really helpful. I think that should be the case for all our offices, by the way. And I think we'd get a lot more done, and people would feel having the ability to get more things done or listen and work with others if they didn't have to spend so much time campaigning.
As we look at what's been done so far in the fall session of the legislature, what are the highlights? And Senator Smith, let's start with you.
Highlights entering the fall session, or what we expect, is that what you're asking?
Well, what's happening as far as things, because there's a lot of legislation in play right now.
There's a lot of legislation that is sitting on the table and not getting hearings or not being scheduled on the calendar that I'd like to see. You know, it's wonderful, for instance, last week to be able to say that, supported to legislation to encourage hemp production and create a process to track sexual assault kits and support families of fallen law enforcement officers. We did that last week in session, but truth is we still are not seeing any movement in from the leaders of the on the Republican side to introduce Medicaid expansion, which would affect so many thousands of families in Wisconsin. There's no excuse for us to reject Medicaid expansion, allow $2 billion to expand affordable health care coverage in other states and not here. And that is truly frustrating for me. That's on the table. I'd like to see, and I think we're going to see some movement on gun safety. The public is demanding it, and I hope that we are able to make something happen in that this fall. And of course, our broken school funding funding system still doesn't go away, and the fact that we just continue to add mandates to our school districts, but we don't seem to want to, I should say, the leadership in the legislature doesn't seem to want to fund our public schools the way they should.
And we'll get to a number of those issues as we move forward in the program, but let's step back and ask you, Representative James, what do you see as the highlights so far this fall or in the time that has happened since the budget passed?
Well, I think first and foremost, the highlighting of the task forces that have been created with the adoption task force. I think we're going to be seeing legislation was just introduced this week regarding the initiatives from that task force. I was a member of the suicide task force. That legislation is also introduced and will be going to hearing. The gunshot project bill that I co-authored will be coming to a hearing on Tuesday, which is exciting. As well as, the passing of the law enforcement spousal benefits to those that are killed in the line of duty. That one was a long overdue bill that should have been passed, in my opinion, a long time ago. However, we do have the successes of looking at what is in the best interest of the Wisconsin citizens and targeting those that make a difference and yet still being fiscally responsible.
You mentioned your time on the suicide task force. That was Assembly Speaker Robin Voss' task force on suicide prevention. Last month, you mentioned the task force did release some draft legislation. Talk about the recommendations that stand out most to you, including that project that you've sponsored.
Yes. Well, thank you. I think the biggest initiative that I see coming out of that is the Office of Suicide Prevention being created within the state. I think that would be two full-time positions that would specifically gear towards prevention, resourcing, education, that would help everyone statewide. Especially in the northern half of our state. If you basically draw a line, follow 29 across, them three top DHS regions, us northerners, have the highest suicide rates in Wisconsin because the southern part obviously has the education resources available. This will open doors of opportunity for those to be eligible for grants, to get the education prevention materials, to get the education in our high school system. And then also the Gun Shop Project is a voluntary program where our gun shops partner with the communities. And anyone that feels that someone may be in harm's way, they can voluntarily turn in their guns and get the resources needed for those individuals. And that puts the burden back on the communities. It puts the burden back on the families. We're all human beings. We need to be accountable to each other. I don't think we should be having our government interfere with this type of situation when all of us have hearts. We all know how to love. We all love somebody at one point in our life, regardless of whatever situation you may be in your life currently. But let's put the accountability back on the people. Let's put the, you know, like the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, come out with that see something, say something. We see this stuff. And what we've learned from these mass shootings that happened throughout the U.S. is that after the fact, somebody always comes out and says, oh, I knew that person was going to do that. They sent this text message to me, or I seen them act like this, or some kind of social media posting or something like that. Somebody always knows something. So we have to feel comfortable enough to get the resources. If I have to turn in my wife because she feels like she's suicidal, then as a loved one, as her husband, I need to do that.
So one of the things that did not come out of the suicide prevention task force was anything relating to like red flag laws. Last month, Governor Evers proposed red flag laws in Wisconsin. Now, these are laws that allow family members and friends to petition judges to temporarily revoke the buying, owning, and carrying of weapons by persons determined to be a threat to themselves or others. How is your bill different than that?
Well, the extreme risk protection orders is what I like to call them, are orders to where law enforcement and or families can petition the courts. At that point, the judge issues a warrant to have the weapons all surrendered. They can go to the residence. And again, there's some questions that I have here that hopefully I'll be able to have a conversation with the governor. I meet with him this Thursday because I was one of the seven legislators that was not able to meet with him in the spring. And I think it's just perfect timing to where I want to ask these questions to the governor, such as why do we want to put more burden on our law enforcement and judicial system, which is already over maxed out on their duties and responsibilities currently? What does this exactly look like? Because I want to, if I go to a residence as an officer and I see something that's wrong, if I'm a one person agency, how am I going to go leave that residence then and go get a search warrant and then come back? I mean, so there's some questions that need to be answered here in regards to how exactly this looks like. I'm always open to listening. I'm open-minded about it. But again, as an agency, when I was a chief of Altoona, we took in weapons, and we've had families bring in the weapons, and we safe-kept them. So them options are already available in our communities. We just have to find out what departments are willing to do this to safekeep weapons, as well as our gun shops. That's the other thing. I would feel more comfortable going to a gun shop than turning into a government agency. However, the same accountability and tracking is in place at both facilities.
Senator Smith, I don't know how familiar you are with this new legislation that's being introduced tomorrow. Where are you on it?
I am a co-sponsor of that.
Great.
I appreciate that it is referred to as an extreme risk protection order. And what we do know is that voluntary turning in your weapons, it doesn't necessarily work when someone has a crisis at the moment. But the family recognizes that crisis, and the family can make the difference and ask that their weapons or their guns be taken in. Now, and I actually really appreciate Jesse's bill about with the gun shop owners. That was inspired by right here in Eau Claire when the gun shop owner from Dane County came and talked to us at the task force hearing about what he had started in Dane County. They called it the safe gun plan or something. They think they called it. So they have a safe in these gun shops, and people can turn them in. I think that's a great idea, but that's voluntary. And over the course of a few years, they've had five persons turn in their guns. That's not a lot, but it's a start. Now, the extreme risk protection order is so much more. It's proven in other states to have cut back on firearm suicides by up to 50% in states that already have used this piece of legislation. So that's what it's about. It's not about taking, you know, breaking in, taking people's weapons, that which is unfortunately what the radical NRA has been pushing their members about, but that is not what it's about. You have to have a family member and or law enforcement and go through a judge to be able to get that order and then peacefully take or confiscate weapons so that they don't hurt themselves or others around them. I think it's pretty logical and common sense piece of legislation, and it's something that I'm really looking forward to us having these discussions. And I appreciate that Representative James is going to have that discussion and ask the questions. And it's like every piece of legislation, it's nothing is perfect the first time around, and we always have to continue to learn and fix things as we go and find out how a law actually works in real life.
Representative James, gun control is such a flashpoint issue nationally. Where do you see the line between Second Amendment protections and the management of gun ownership, and what weapons fall under the right to bear arms?
The right to bear arms should involve any weapon or any gun. I need to get rid of that weapon terminology. It's a gun. Let's call it what it is. It's interesting because a lot of people are stating that we need to ban assault weapons. And the reality is, you know, assault weapons aren't the ones that assault people. People assault people. And they're guns. And I would feel that they're really terming these guns improperly. For example, if I was an active shooter, I would feel more comfortable with my deer hunting gun, rifle, than I would with, say, a AR-15, because that's suited to me. It's still... There's semi-automatic rifles out there, just like there's semi-automatic AR-15s. I mean, that's what they are. They're semi-automatic. And as fast as you can pull the trigger is how fast that the bullets come out, the rounds come out. So as far as the Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms, it covers all guns, all rifles, all shotguns. It's interesting because I recently read something regarding there's been actually more people killed by knives in America than there has been guns recently. There's always going to be bad guys. There's always going to be a chance to have weapons or have the guns available. I mean, I know guys that buy all this stuff online, and that's where they're getting the equipment, the necessary building components to build their own guns and rifles. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Well, I think so. That's the voice of Jesse James. He is the state representative from Altoona. Also with us today on the show, State Senator Jeff Smith. So what issue is top of mind for you? You can join the conversation at 800-228-5615, 800-228-5615. We have a couple folks on the line we'll get to after our break. I'm Dean Kallenbeck. This is The West Side on the Ideas Network. We're back with our legislative update and our guest, State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire and State Representative Jesse James of Altoona. You can join the conversation by calling 800-228-5615. That's what Martha decided to do today. And Martha, thanks for calling and welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I've been wanting to address this for a while. Last spring, I got my official spring survey in the mail. And when I opened it and read it, I didn't know whether to be just astounded or frustrated, bang my head against the wall. Apparently, the state legislature gets money to send out surveys to their constituents this is a branch of science, survey research. My survey has questions that, I mean, I think a third grader wrote. But it turns out my representative wrote it. One of the questions says, I'll just pull one off here. What is your closest view on gun ownership and the Second Amendment? So I can either answer, according to this, that I support efforts to protect the rights of gun owners, or I can answer, I support efforts to put restrictions on gun ownership. Well, guess what? A lot of gun owners agree with both those statements. I happen to be one of them. I don't want insane people getting guns. That would be a restriction on gun ownership, according to this survey. So my problem is, survey research is a science. And our state legislatures, legislators who are sheriffs and lawyers and doctors and nurses and computer programmers, they don't do this as a science. So it'd be like me taking my daughter to the doctor and them saying, well, we don't have any human doctors here, but we can let the large animal vet take a look at your daughter for you. You know, right. It's misleading.
Thank you, Martha.
It's misleading.
Thank you, Martha. Senator Smith, does your office use these sorts of surveys to try to get input from your constituents? And how reliable do you think that information is?
No, we don't. And I don't know of any senators that have been doing that. That's been in the assembly side. And I think it's actually come from the Republican caucus that did that. And I don't think each legislator wrote their own. I think it was one survey that they all use the same wording. So just to get you off the hook a little bit,
Thank you, Jesse, on
that. But I agree with Martha. First of all, I agree with Martha on the answers of the one question. I would be the same place as a gun owner and answer both of those questions in the same way. But our same answer or two answers are the same question. But she's right about the science. This is a unfortunate waste of our resources that we're then pretending to use that as a scientific study, and it is not a scientific study. And we should leave it up to the experts and the scientists of surveys to make sure that they get correct answers and get a real feel for how people stand.
Representative James, has your caucus shared the results of these surveys?
So the surveys were sent out, and they were compiled to put together by our legislative aides in the office, and then they were sent up. Those numbers were released to leadership. They may have released those figures. I have not seen them.
Do you get to see from your own office, though? Do you get to see the ones that respond in your office?
Yes.
Are they useful?
Let me back up here.
Sure.
Because during the process, these surveys are still coming in, and they were supposed to be on a deadline. So there's a stack of them on the file cabinet in my office. I had a legislative aide that entered them in, and he ended up quitting and pursuing another job, going to school. And so I have not seen my figure, so I can't respond to that question.
Okay. Let's move on to Vern from Boyd. Vern, welcome to the West Side.
Good morning, Dean. Thanks for being on.
You bet.
I consider Jesse James to be a human being who cares about people. I've talked with him shortly. Now, here's the situation. I have a woman that has lymphoma. She needs a cancer screen. The state sent her a letter. You know, her cancer doctor said she has to have this screen. The state Badger Care sent her a letter saying, we're not going to pay for it. And they said they will send her a letter to that effect. And then they said they'll set up an appeal process. So if you got possibly cancer, all her lymph nodes are swelled up and stuff like that, and she's got growths other places. Mr. James knows who I'm talking about, and I would appreciate if he can help. But to deny somebody a screen and put them through the meat grinder, that's what the VA does. And to not let her have that screen and put her in jeopardy of dying from cancer, it's immoral. It's not right. Something has to, and if Mr. James can do something about this needs to be fast-tracked, And I'll keep one other thing. And all these houses these people live in, they're built in the 70s. The toilet overflows, the crap runs on the floor, and the owner gives my daughter $3 and says, here, clean it up. But the most important thing, she needs that cancer screen.
Thank you, Vern. Jesse James, we are coming up on the sign-up period, as a matter of fact, under the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. The governor tried to get Medicaid expansion through in his budget proposal earlier this year, but that was removed as the bill went through the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee. Wisconsinites are paying into Medicaid. Senator Smith mentioned it earlier. Under what circumstances might the Republican majority agree to expanding Medicaid for Wisconsin? And B, is that the sort of thing that's going to help the person Vern's talking about?
Well, to my knowledge, I can tell you the Republican Assembly will not support Medicaid expansion. Coming into this, again, not being a politician, I'm continuously researching and getting the talking points regarding the Medicaid expansion. It is, a huge learning process. I'm looking at what other states that have taken the expansion and trying to digest the impact. For example, I want to say Rhode Island, and this is what's popping in my head, and I may be misquoted here, but I think Rhode Island had taken the Medicaid expansion, and now their governor is looking to impose a 10% income tax increase because of that to compensate for the state portion of what they have to pay in now. So that raises some concern for me if that's the way that this is going to be imposed on Wisconsin taxpayers in the future. There's some concerns that I have, and I don't know if that's true, but that's some of the information that I've received by even other states. I think Arizona was another one that has a deficit now, and they have to come up with monies to cover it. So in the beginning, it sounds like it's good, but then at a certain point, the Wisconsin taxpayers end up absorbing certain percentages after taking it.
Senator Smith, you've spoken in favor of expanding Medicaid. Why?
Well, in the 31st Senate District, it would provide approximately $137 million in health care investments and expand coverage for up to 4,746 individuals in nine counties that are within our district. It's Medicaid expansion would lower costs for people. It just would in the individual market. OCI released a report by an independent actuarial firm indicating their premiums in the individual market were 7 to 11% lower in the states that have already expanded Medicaid expansion. And I don't know the cases that Representative James are mentioning in Rhode Island, but I'd certainly want to look at all of those details. But it's just like what you're hearing from presidential candidates right now in this discussion on the Democratic side about which way are we going to, how we're going to fix our system in this country. And I prefer if we actually use the term improved Medicaid or Medicare for everyone. Improved Medicare. We know that there's faults within even the Medicare system because as I approach that age myself, you still have to end up buying a subsidiary to be able to cover everything. It's just really confusing for most people. But the private market is about profit and not about making people well. And so we have got to do something much better in this country and in this state.
Our guests are State Senator Jeff Smith of Eau Claire and State Representative Jesse James of Altoona. We're talking about politics this morning and politics that affect western Wisconsin. We've got Kathy now from the Eau Claire County town of Seymour. Kathy, thanks for joining us on the West Side.
Thank you. Last week, my husband and I sent letters to both of you. I don't know if you've received them yet, regarding the many concerns we have with advanced disposal operation of the Seven Mile Creek landfill. We are barely surviving the health, social, and financial impacts, and now Advanced is proposing the fourth expansion in 20 years. The Seven Mile Creek residential neighborhood surrounds the landfill. We are petitioning the local negotiating committee to improve conditions for us. Other communities in Wisconsin have addressed many of these same issues and concerns more effectively and compensated neighbors and protected their property values. We've gotten no support from our town chairman, who also does not appoint residents who live within 2 miles of the landfill to these committees. The decision made by this present negotiating committee will impact our future for many years. Where do you stand on these issues, and how will you show your support for us?
So that's thank you, Kathy, for joining us. Jesse James, it's an example of a local issue, but legislators have to deal with it because there are statewide implications. Have you dealt with this issue, and are you familiar with it?
I am familiar with it. I haven't dealt with it. I was able to talk to Kathy on the phone, and I did receive her first letter and then another informational sheet, and I'm looking forward to seeing this letter she's speaking of now. From what I understand, Advanced Disposal and other, I want to say 5 or 6 other communities throughout the state have honored requests to take care of the environmental impacts in those areas. And I believe Kathy has a valid point in what she's raising. The same type of impositions should be placed on them based on our discussions of what she's talking about with the garbage smell and the fencing, the overflowing, the large piles. I mean, it does impact the property values. And I need to entertain discussion with the chair of the committee, and we'll see from there.
Senator Smith?
Well, I lived through this terrible decision made by the county board, I don't know how many years ago, 20 years ago or whatever, to privatize the landfill site in Eau Claire. And we should never have done that, but we can't turn the clock back. But I also supported and still support raising tipping fees to keep the out-of-state garbage from coming in here. It's absolutely ludicrous that we have become the dumping site for Minnesota garbage. And in fact, I know that local garbage services are rejected here and end up driving much further away to another landfill to take their garbage. So the whole thing is just so convoluted and messed up right now. And we should, unfortunately, we don't have control over our landfill site like we should, because again, the county chose to sell it so many years ago. And it puts us in a really bad spot to rely on a private corporation to do the right thing. And now, of course, they're looking to expand. And I just got Kathy's letter this weekend, and I've been went through it. And it's disappointing, to say the least. But it's the position we're in, and I think we need to look at, again, at tipping fees. I think is like the one thing that at the state level we can do to help out.
State Senator Jeff Smith is the voice you just heard. We also have State Representative Jesse James. It's our legislative update, and your chance to ask your questions and bring your issues to these two local legislators. Have you ever called your local legislator for help with a problem, and what has your experience been? We still have time for you to bring you into the show at 800-228-5615. That's 800-228-5615. I'm Dean Kallenbach. This is the West Side on the Ideas Network. I want to shift into some mental health issues which have been a part of the conversation in the legislature. Wisconsin Watch reports that cases of meth use are on the rise again in the state, up 450% between 2008 and 2018. And Western Wisconsin has not been spared in this. While the opioid epidemic has garnered attention at the state and national levels, that resurgence of meth remains more hidden. Senator Smith, what are you hearing from your constituents? Is this an important issue to them?
It is absolutely. We know that nationally and even statewide, opioid crisis is getting all the headlines. But in the meantime, meth has been rampant in Western Wisconsin and caused a lot of serious issues, both in separation of families, because once meth is in the household, you got to get those kids out of the house, and we've had, which put a tremendous strain on our foster system and our social workers in Western Wisconsin. There's some incredible people out there doing some incredible things to deal with the addiction side of it, but we have to do more. And it starts with again, people being very much aware of what's going on around them. within their own family, within their social circles, within their neighborhood, and making the call and saying, hey, this is happening, and we've got to do something about it.
Representative James, former law enforcement officer, you're a member of the Assembly Committee on Substance Abuse and Prevention. What can the state do to impact our region's ability to respond to problems like opioid and meth abuse?
Well, it comes down to education. I think we need to get the message of the substance abuse that's going on. Opioid use is on the rise in the western half of Wisconsin currently. We are experiencing more overdoses than ever before and more deaths related to opioids. We need to get this message back into our schools, whether it's through law enforcement partners, whether it's through the counselors at schools, you know, target the fourth and eighth grade levels. It's eye-opening, and it may give those children that are affected by this a chance and a voice. It may give them the confidence to say something like, oh, this is happening. This is happening to me. So we need to address it. It is a community. It is a statewide issue, and we need to look at it that way. We need to have people comfortable enough that want to get the help to get the help as well. That's one of the things that does concern me is the lack of resources that are available. From what I understand, it takes an average 180 days for a meth addict to have full recovery, where they're clean and sober. That's how long it takes for your body to go through that healing process and recovery process. So we have to come up with some kind of programs that would be 180 days. And that's concerning because it's going to be costly.
Well, staying with the topic of mental health care, Representative James Yu, along with State Senator Kathy Bernier of Chippewa Falls, introduced a bill earlier this year to increase the number of hospital beds for emergency psychiatric detentions in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls. What prompted you to sponsor that bill?
Well, obviously, being in law enforcement, it's emergency detentions. It's not creating regional crisis stabilization facilities because that's two separate things. Emergency detentions is when a law enforcement initiates and detains somebody, takes somebody into custody where they're deprived of their freedoms at that time, and they are transferred to a secure facility to get the mental health services that they need. This would be a huge win. On our side of the state, Sacred Heart is currently the only facility that takes our juveniles, which is eye-opening. And this bill would have created 18 beds in St. Joseph's, eight less than what Winnebago currently has. Winnebago houses 26. We'd have 18 on our side of the state for our juveniles. A huge win for the entire state of Wisconsin on this. It was put in as a budget motion. Unfortunately, the governor vetoed it at that time. So that's why Senator Bernier and I reintroduced it as legislation in hopes that we can get this passed for our side of the state because of the economic impact. Because this will be something that will also have a return on investment because it costs our county agencies and law enforcement. Law enforcement alone was about $2.7 million last year in transporting from our side of the state, 29 counties, to Winnebago. That's concerning.
Senator Smith, one of your Democrat Senate colleagues, Patty Schachner of Somerset, also proposed legislation to address mental health care in western Wisconsin. Her bill calls for creation of five regional crisis stabilization centers organized through the Department of Health Services. What differences might those two bills highlight in how Republicans and Democrats approach mental health care?
Well, first of all, both Senator Schachner and myself are on the bill with Representative James and Senator Bernier that they have introduced. But we also know that it's been vetoed once, and we know what the chances are that that's going, because there are concerns that people raise about it being targeted for one facility, and that's, I understand that.
So is that a regional conflict as opposed to a partisan conflict, do you think?
Could be both, right? Could be both. But
no simple answer.
But we are, but regionally, we see that need because every sheriff, since I've been elected, has come to me specifically to state that we need to do something that where they don't have to send a deputy for a full day, one or two deputies for a full day down to Winnebago and back to take care of this, to take care of a patient or a client that has to go down there. So We understand that there's a serious issue and there's a serious problem, and Senator Schachner and myself recognize it, as well as Representative James and Senator Bernier, and we're bound and determined to get something up here in western Wisconsin.
So as a Democrat, are you going to use your influence to say to the governor, hey, don't veto this when it comes through as a standalone bill?
Well, I talked to the governor back at budget time as well, so he is well aware that this is a serious issue that we all have to deal with.
And Representative James, do you think the legislature is going to be able to come up with a mental health care plan that will then pass the governor's desk or be veto-proof?
I believe so. This is, again, for a bed in Winnebago, a psychiatric bed, it's approximately $1 to $1.3 million a year, the cost of that bed. Sacred Heart Hospital, St. Joe's HSHS, has come up with figures where they've reduced that cost to $655,000 for a bed. That is huge for our side of the state. This is a win-win for Wisconsin, the entire state, because we've had over a couple dozen mental health patients from southeastern Wisconsin, even from Milwaukee County, come up, and were housed at Sacred Heart Hospital here in Eau Claire. So there are people from all over the state coming to our local hospital for psychiatric services.
And we just hope that we'll get the same bipartisan support for Senator Schachner's bill as we have for the other bill, because the idea is that we want to get something done, not so much that it has to be one idea or the other.
So you see them as complementary and not competing bills.
I do, yeah.
Regional stabilization centers, I'm learning more about them. Based on my initial feelings about them, they're good. It's not a secure environment. The people there being serviced come freely. It's a volunteer program. They're not confined. And that's, the least restrictive means we want to provide to those that are seeking the services. And if those people need those services, then we need to get them those services. But those, we're still going to have Chapter 51 situations no matter what, because they're on the rise.
We're getting close to the end of our time. There are some other issues I want to get to. Senator Smith, you serve on the Senate's Committee on Sporting Heritage, Mining, and Forestry. There's some new legislation you're sponsoring relating to chronic wasting disease and trying to manage that disease within the Wisconsin deer herd. As we move into the fall hunting season, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, this is a high priority in my office, as a matter of fact, and I even brought three bills along today just to remind me of some of the things we have to do. Jesse mentioned earlier on another subject how important education is, and this is another case of we have to educate people who are going out in the woods, people who are going out and hunting, especially right now. Of course, we're in the midst of bow hunting and moving up towards gun hunting. Disposal is critical, and testing is critical. And now we had a situation where six CDACs, that's the deer management authorities in each state or each county, six of those joined together, which is a first ever because this is such a critical issue right now, and came up with a plan where they agreed, and I was in that room, packed town hall of hunters who unanimously said, yes, we want mandatory testing. Unfortunately, our Natural Resources Board, another citizen board, overruled them and made it voluntary. Well, voluntary has not proven to work in the past because not everybody is really understanding how important it is of helping us find out where all the deer are that are affected, and also the disposal. So we're also pushing the idea of dumpsters. In each six dumpsters, we're hoping if our bill passes, and Senator Mark Klein is a lead, and I'm a second on that bill on the Senate side, that we provide funding for six dumpsters per county so that the disposal is done properly. Because if you knew the science of chronic wasting disease and how it gets into the soils, and that's how it spreads, and you cannot let a carcass lay and let that happen, because then it never goes away.
Governor Evers has finally set the date for a special election for the 7th District Member of Congress to replace Sean Duffy, the Republican who resigned last month. Primary will happen February 18th with the special election May 12th. The Senate includes a portion of both of your districts. Representative James, what do you think of the timeline that was announced over the weekend?
I'm somewhat confused about it. I don't know why it couldn't have been during the same time as the general election on April 5th. I believe that's when the date is, April 5th or 7th or something like
that. Yeah, the general election is, or the primary.
April 5th.
And the general, presidential primary and the general spring election is April 7th.
April 7th. Yeah. So I don't, the governor made the decision. I don't know if there's obviously a political ploy here. It is what it is. I don't know if there's anything that we can even do about it, but it's set, and I know the candidates are ready to go.
Senator Smith, the head of Wisconsin's Republican Party, Mark Jefferson, says the decision for a May election shows that Democrats are terrified of rural voters and said that this is a voter suppression issue. What's your response to that?
I don't think the Republican Party wants to open up that can of worms about voter suppression. I think that would be that would not work in their favor. I know that I and most of my colleagues constantly raise the idea that we want all people to vote. We want more people to vote, and every chance we can get, we think it's important that everybody uses their constitutional ability or right to vote.
As we look ahead to the close of the fall legislative session in this next month, what are you looking forward to and what are you hoping to see come out before the winter break? And Representative James, let's start with you.
Well, I'd love to see that Assembly Bill 443 with psychiatric beds come to fruition, come to the floor for a vote, get over to the Senate, pass, and then get to the governor's desk, because this is a huge win for Wisconsin. I can't emphasize that enough. It's not about the 68th Assembly. It's not about Jesse. It's not about the 23rd Senate, and it's not about Kathy. It's about looking out for the best interests of an issue that is on the rise, and we need to try to get in front of it. It's not the solution to cure all, end all. However, it is an option that's available. It will be a win-win for Wisconsin. Also, I think there's been talk about the marijuana issue as well. I can tell you that I am 0% in favor of recreational marijuana, obviously due to my previous occupation. However, my eyes have been opened and I am more compassionate in regards to medical marijuana with proper regulation being put in place and possible pill form. I think that would be something I could definitely support.
Senator Smith, how about you as you look ahead?
Well, let's make a quick run through CWD. Again, I mentioned it's really
got about
important.
45 seconds.
We need to push that, I know. So we have a shortage of nurses in this state and probably nationally. We need to do a lot more to encourage people getting through the programs for nursing. And we have SB 222 and SB 223, which we think. And then Family Navigator Program, which is really flying under the radar. It's sitting in committee. It's SB 344. That's a program we need to encourage, which would actually help us in some of the things we've been talking about today. So hopefully those things get done, as well as, by the way, we know we all have a shortage of teachers, and we can't even get substitute teachers right now. We need to revisit some of the things that have been done to destroy or go after public education and teachers in the last 8 years and reverse some of those trends, because we need our teachers.
That's the voice of State Senator Jeff Smith of the 31st Senate District, and also today joined by Jesse James, the state representative representing District 68. Thank you both for being with us today.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you to Catherine Thomas for producing this show and for her on-air production today, and to Kate Spranger for publicity. Next week, we talk about renewable energy here in western Wisconsin and efforts to shift away from fossil fuels. I'm Dean Kallenbach. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to The West Side on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.